I come to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. I have to admit that our Old Testament reading for today actually troubles me a little bit. In our Old Testament reading, this is the story of the woman from Zarephath and Elijah. And we're looking at a community where the people come in and they've been struck by such a severe drought that they're struggling to have enough food even to survive. And they strive to hold on to their faith in God even despite that. And this woman who doesn't even have enough food to feed her son holds on to that faith. Just as Elijah walks into the room and does something truly startling, looks at her and says, "That which God has given to you, God wants you to give it to me." My first reaction to this is outrage. Outrage, even when she explains to him, "My son and I don't even have enough food to survive." He says, "Nevertheless, God wants you to give that to me." And she could very easily look at this and say, "What kind of God is this that gives to me only to take away?" And the perfectly rational response would be to say, "Look, I need to take care of myself and my loved ones first." We don't get to see what her reaction was to this. I mean, maybe she was angry. Maybe she was outraged at the injustice of it all and felt betrayed. And maybe she did struggle with this decision, but she did decide to help Elijah. And in doing so, she demonstrated something really important, that the true depth of the greatest generosity comes not from where it's easy to give, but from where it's hard to give. She, somewhere along the line, remembered that everything that she had was a blessing given to her by God. And it wasn't given to her so that she could keep it for herself. It was given to her so that she could go out and give to others. Now that actually is pretty much in keeping with our gospel reading for today, right? And I don't know if any of you feel the same way, but it seems like this gospel reading comes up right around stewardship time every year, right? Right as we're filling out our pledge cards for the year. And Jesus points to this woman and says, "Truly I tell you, this woman who is given these two coins has given more than all of those who gave out of their abundance." And many preachers over the years use this as a lesson to talk about the importance of tithing, the importance of giving a percentage of your income rather than a flat amount. And while I don't think that's necessarily a bad lesson, and I want to be clear, I do encourage everyone to be generous in their giving to the church. We also run the risk of diminishing the message if we make it just about money. I mean, Jesus was talking about us being generous with our money, to be sure, but Jesus also uses money as a metaphor quite frequently, in the same way that he uses grain or light or salt. And one of the things Jesus wants us to understand in this lesson is that it's a great blessing to be able to take out of our abundance and give to others. But if we look at our neighbor and we look at where we're struggling to give and we're generous even out of that struggle, that's a true, deep, great generosity. Now, for some of us, that might be money. I mean, for some of us, the thing that hurts the most to give may very well be money. And we have to really open up our hearts to give to another. But for some of us, it may be something else. For some of us, the thing that we struggle to give may be giving up on our vengeance or the grudge we bear against someone else for hurting us. Or the thing that may be the hardest to give may be to give up our fear that's holding us back and keeping us from being the kind of people we have the potential to be. And maybe for someone here, the thing they hold on to the tightest, that they find hardest to give away, is forgiveness. Forgiveness of somebody else who has hurt us or who has wronged us. Maybe a far greater act of love and generosity than giving money. And one thing that almost none of us have enough of is time. Time is such a precious and dear commodity to us, so it's such an incredible act of love when we give of that. When we look in the world and see the potential that we have, when we don't just give of ourselves where we have extra to spare, but when we look at our neighbor and we look at where we're struggling to give and we can be generous out of that place as well. I'll tell you, one of the things I have a hard time giving is control. I have this natural tendency to want to hold on to control, to keep it for myself. I want to protect it like a hungry man with his last morsel of bread because it feels safer. Because giving away control feels awfully vulnerable and can be a scary thing. But I've come to understand that God looks at me and has given me all that I have in my life, not so that I could keep it for myself, but so that I could share it with others. And I'll tell you, the fact that it's hard actually serves as a really useful reminder. It being hard is what reminds me how dear and how precious a gift it is to give, because it's not easy to give, because it's hard to give. So I work at collaborating with others and delegating responsibilities and asking for help when I need it, because I've come to realize it does make me better able to function in community. It does make me better able to be in relationship with others. But it comes from a place of scarcity and fear that is what reminds me just how precious of a gift that is to give. And one of the other things I want to make note of about our readings for today is that they quite frequently get used in ways that have come to be known as the prosperity gospel. If those of you have heard of the prosperity gospel, or the idea that if you give, God will reward you for it. Most specifically, that the more you give, the more God will reward you in your life. And while that doesn't sound like a bad idea at first, it runs the real risk of diminishing generosity and love into being a sort of transaction with God, a sort of a gentleman's agreement that the reason I'm giving is because of what I expect to get out of it. And that's part of where the Pharisees were struggling here. For the last few weeks, we've been following the Gospel of Mark as Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem, and the Pharisees keep coming up and they keep questioning him, keep trying to trip him up. And Jesus keeps evading their traps, and he keeps turning their questions around on them and challenging their perception of God's love. Because Jesus is just shaking his head and saying, you don't get it. God's love is not something that you need to try to win like a prize in a contest. It's not something that you need to try to buy with your good behavior. God's love has already been given to you. Your focus instead needs to be on how you're sharing it with others. They don't get it because they keep trying to focus on who prays the most and who prays the loudest and who gives the most money and who keeps the most commandments. And they say to one another, well, God loves me more because I struggle and I keep 9 of the commandments and you only keep 7 of the commandments. Or I struggle and we're both better than that guy over there who keeps 3 of the commandments. But Jesus said, that's not how it works. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill doesn't mean thou shalt not kill unless thou really wants to, right? It doesn't mean thou shalt not kill unless thou has a really good reason. It means thou shalt not kill. But the reason we do that, the reason we keep that commandment isn't because God will love us more if we do. The reason we keep that commandment is because God loves us already. And God already loves that other person. And not killing is part of how we show that love. It's part of how we give that love. It's the same with our generosity. We don't give of ourselves because of what we're hoping to get out of it from God. We give of ourselves because what we've been given is a great blessing. And we're already loved. And that's part of how we get to go out and participate in God's love happening out in the world. The Pharisees, they didn't see it. They didn't get it. The two women in these stories, though, these two widows, they saw it and they got it. They understood that what they had was a blessing. Everything they had was a blessing. And it wasn't given to them so that they could keep it to themselves. It was given to them so they could go out and participate in God's love happening out in the world. The woman from Zarephath didn't look at Elijah and say, I want some kind of guarantee that this is going to be worth my while. And the widow who put in her two coins didn't turn to Jesus and say, now this is getting me into heaven, right? They understood that it was about more than just that. And so now this is our world that we've been given. And we get to choose how we're going to go out into the world and respond. We can respond by not loving. We can, within our rights to do that. We can respond by loving, but only where it's easy. Only where it doesn't have to hurt. Or we can go out into the world and we can love deeply and richly, looking not just at where we have plenty to spare, but where we're really struggling, and look at our neighbor and take that as an opportunity to strive, to challenge ourselves, to be ever more generous. Because this life that we've been given was a gift, a blessed gift given to us by God, so that we could go out and give to others. And when we do that, we really are being Christ's disciples, following Christ as he took his blessed life and gave it to others out of love. Christ brought some radical, irrational, unreasonable generosity and love to this world. And now it's our chance to go out and bring that irrational, unreasonable generosity and love to others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.